This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Body language adjustments for communicating with someone who is visually impaired. How to make your physical presence felt when your face cannot do the work. In short, body language adjustments for visually impaired communication are not about doing less. They are about doing differently. Your posture, proximity, and physical movement still carry real meaning. Visually impaired people sense your presence, position, and tension through sound, touch, and spatial cues. Most sighted habits, such as nodding, pointing, and eye contact, need to be replaced with verbal or tactile equivalents. The frameworks below give you a clear system for every stage of an interaction approach: greeting, conversation, guidance, and close. Definition: body language adjustments are deliberate changes to your posture, positioning, movement, and physical gestures to ensure your nonverbal communication remains clear and respectful. In visually impaired contexts, these adjustments shift the load from visual signals to physical presence, vocal delivery, and intentional touch. I watched a senior manager walk into a meeting, take a seat, and spend 40 minutes nodding, pointing at slides, and mouthing "good point" across the table. The other participant, who had been blind since his 20s, received almost none of it. The manager was a warm and capable person. He simply had no framework for how body language adjustments work when the person across from you cannot see. By the end of the meeting, the visually impaired participant had been effectively cut out of half the nonverbal exchange in the room. Good intentions had produced a bad outcome because there was no system to reach for. This article gives you that system. What sighted communication gets wrong from the start. We build most of our communication habits around the assumption that both people can see. We rely on eye contact to signal attention. We nod to signal agreement. We point to indicate location. We smile to soften a difficult message. These are not bad habits. They simply stop working the moment one person in the conversation cannot access them. The mistake is not using these signals. The mistake is using them only without replacing them with something the other person can actually receive. When you make that substitution deliberately, something good happens. Your communication becomes more precise, more intentional, and often more powerful than it was before. The frameworks below are tools for making that substitution. Each one covers a specific stage or challenge in the interaction. Together, they give you a reliable system you can apply in any setting, whether you're in a one-on-one meeting, a larger group, or a physical environment you're navigating together. Framework 1. The Approach Announcement Protocol. What it is: a structured method for making your physical arrival known before you enter someone's space, so they are never startled and always oriented. What it is designed for: the moment of approach, whether you are entering a room, approaching someone at their desk, or re-entering a conversation after a break. How it works. Number 1. Speak before you arrive. As you approach, say the person's name and identify yourself. Do not assume they will recognize your voice, especially in a noisy environment. Number 2. State your direction. A brief word about where you're coming from helps them orient their body toward you. Coming in from your left is enough. Number 3. Pause at a respectful distance before closing in. Give them a moment to respond or just before you enter their immediate space. Number 4. Wait for acknowledgement. A nod, a word, or a turn of the head toward you is enough. Then proceed. When to use it: every time you approach, without exception, at the start. This becomes natural within a few days of practice. When not to use it: there is no situation where you should skip this. Even in an ongoing relationship, the approach announcement protects the other person's sense of spatial control. Quick example: you are returning to a meeting room after a short break. Instead of walking back to your seat silently, you say, "Back now," coming in from the door on your right. 2 seconds. Complete respect. Here is the truth of it: most people skip the approach announcement because it feels awkward. That awkwardness fades in about a week. The alternative, a startled colleague who did not hear you coming, is far worse. Framework 2. The orientation anchor. What it is: a consistent physical and verbal method for establishing where you're in relation to the other person so they can direct their attention, voice, and body toward you accurately. What it is designed for: the opening seconds of a conversation, and any moment when your position in the space changes. How it works. Number 1. Choose a stable position and stay in it for the duration of the exchange unless you announce a change. Number 2. Describe your position once, simply. I'm sitting directly across from you, I'm standing to your right. Number 3. If you move, say so. I'm going to step around to your side if a table gives the person time to reorient. Number 4. Keep your voice projected consistently from that position, turning your head away from them while speaking shifts your voice direction and creates confusion about where you are, when to use it. At the start of every conversation and whenever your physical location changes, when not to use it. If the person has explicitly told you they have strong spatial memory and prefer not to receive constant updates, respect that. Ask once, then follow their lead. Quick example. You are in a review meeting. You say, I'm going to pull my chair around so we are side by side rather than across from each other. Is that okay? You have communicated both the movement and the reason, and you have asked for consent. I learned this one by getting it wrong. I stood up mid-conversation to look something up on a whiteboard and kept talking. The other person had no idea where my voice had gone. Simple lesson: move your body only when you've moved your words first. Framework 3. The verbal mirror. What it is? A system for replacing visual signals such as nodding, facial expressions, and hand gestures with brief verbal equivalents that carry the same meaning. What it is designed for? Active listening, agreement, encouragement, and turn-taking during conversation. How it works. Number 1. Replace nodding with brief verbal acknowledgements. Yes, I hear you, understood, or a short amen said clearly rather than swallowed. Number 2. Replace facial expressions with a word or phrase with an expression would have carried meaning. A concerned look becomes that sounds difficult. A smile of agreement becomes that makes a lot of sense. Number 3. Replace pointing with specific verbal direction, not over there but on the table to your left, about an arm's length away. Number 4. Replace eye contact as a turn-taking signal with a consistent verbal cue, a short pause followed by the person's name, or a light, agreed-upon touch on the hand, when to use it, throughout the entire conversation. This framework runs in the background of everything else, when not to use it as your only tool. The verbal mirror is most powerful when paired with the physical frameworks above. Words alone, without stable positioning and presence, still leave gaps. Quick example. Your colleague finishes making a point and looks slightly past you, waiting to see if you're still engaged. Instead of nodding, you say, I'm with you, go on. They have everything a nod would have given them, and more. This is the framework that transforms good communicators into exceptional ones. When you learn to mirror in words what your face is doing, you become more deliberate with your expressions altogether. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Framework 4. The Touch Protocol. What it is? A clear, consistent system for using physical contact as a respectful and communicative body language tool. What it is designed for? Greeting, guidance, and emotional acknowledgement in situations where touch carries meaning that words alone cannot. How it works. Number 1. Always ask before initiating touch for the first time with any person. Is it okay if I take your arm? Or can I shake your hand? One question. Clear, direct. Number 2. Announce the touch before it happens. I'm going to take your hand now removes the startle entirely. Number 3. Use consistent contact points. The hand, the forearm, or the upper arm are universally understood as neutral contact zones. Avoid the shoulder or back unless the person has indicated comfort with that. Number 4. Use intentional pressure. A firm, clear grip communicates confidence and presence. A tentative or hovering hand communicates uncertainty and creates discomfort. Number 5. Release cleanly. Do not trail off or let contact dissolve ambiguously. End it as deliberately as you began it. When to use it. Greeting, sighted guide situations, and moments of genuine emotional connection such as expressing condolence or celebration. When not to use it. Never use touch as a replacement for words you should be saying. Touch supplements the verbal. It does not substitute for it. And always, always follow the person's lead if they indicate discomfort. Quick example. A colleague returns from a difficult conversation. You would normally place a reassuring hand on their arm. You do the same here. But you say first, I'm going to put my hand on your arm for a moment. Then you do. The gesture carries everything it would have carried before, with the added strength of intentional communication. Touch done well is one of the most powerful body language tools available. Touch done carelessly is a violation. The protocol is not a formality. It is the difference between connection and intrusion. Framework 5. The close and departure signal. What it is. A structured method for ending a conversation or leaving a space in a way that leaves the other person fully oriented and respected. What it is designed for. The conclusion of any interaction, whether a brief hallway exchange or a long meeting, how it works. Number 1. Signal the close verbally before you begin wrapping up. I think we've covered what we needed to give the person time to prepare for the transition. Number 2. Summarize any agreed actions or next steps in words, even if you've written them down. A written note is not accessible in the moment. Number 3. State clearly that you are leaving. I'm going to head out now. Do not simply stand up and walk away. Number 4. If you are the last person in a shared space and the visually impaired person is remaining, briefly orient them to the state of the room. The door is still open behind me, or there's a cup of water on the table to your right. Number 5. Say goodbye with their name. It closes the loop and confirms the interaction is complete. When to use it. Every time you end a conversation or leave a shared space. When not to use it. There is no circumstance where silent departure is the better option. Quick example. You finish a one-on-one review. You say, I think we're done. A follow-up on the 2 points we flagged. I'm heading out now, Sarah. Speak soon. Clean, clear, respectful. I have seen the same scenario play out dozens of times. A well-meaning person simply stands and leaves, and the other person spends the next 10 seconds wondering if the conversation is actually over, or if the other person just shifted in their seat. Those 10 seconds erode trust. The close costs you nothing. Choosing the right framework for the moment. Different stages of an interaction call for different tools. This table helps you match the framework to the need. Situation framework to reach for. Approaching someone for the first time, approach announcement protocol. Opening a conversation or changing position, orientation anchor. Active listening or taking turns to speak, verbal mirror. Greeting, physical guidance, or emotional moments touch protocol. Ending a conversation or leaving a space close and departure signal. In practice, these frameworks work together rather than in isolation. A single meeting might move to all 5 in sequence. The approach announcement gets you in the room. The orientation anchor establishes where you are. The verbal mirror keeps the conversation alive. The touch protocol handles any moment of physical exchange. The close and departure signal ends things cleanly. Think of them as a chain, not a menu. For longer or more complex interactions, such as collaborative work sessions or inclusive meetings with diverse teams, you will cycle through the orientation anchor and verbal mirror repeatedly as the conversation shifts. Where well-intentioned people go wrong. You cannot improve what you do not name. These are the habits that undermine body language adjustments even in people who genuinely care. The mistake. Nodding and pointing as if nothing has changed. Why it happens. Sighted habits are deeply automatic. Most people do not notice they are doing it. What to do instead? Practice the verbal mirror for 1 week in every interaction, sighted or not. It requires the habit faster than any rule. The mistake. Asking, can you see what I mean? Or look at this. Why it happens. Common idioms embed visual language so deeply that we stop hearing them. What to do instead? Slow down when you are about to use a directional or visual phrase and replace it with a specific verbal description. The mistake. Making sustained eye contact while assuming that signals full engagement. Why it happens. We equate eye contact with connection. It is not the signal that matters. Connection is. What to do instead. Direct your voice, your body, and your words towards the person. Connection does not require a gaze. The mistake. Leaving without announcement. Why it happens. People forget, or they feel the conversation has clearly ended. What to do instead? Apply the close and departure signal as a non-negotiable habit, regardless of how obvious the ending seems. Good awareness of nonverbal communication in tense situations becomes even more critical here, because the signals most people use to de-escalate tension, open posture, softened expression, are invisible to the other person without deliberate replacement. Building these habits over time. Here is a realistic plan. Not a long one. Week 1. Focus only on the approach announcement protocol and the close and departure signal. These are the bookends of every interaction, and they are the easiest to practice consistently. Week 2. Add the orientation anchor. Practice stating your position at the start of every conversation, regardless of whether the other person is visually impaired. It will sharpen your spatial awareness more than any drill. Week 3. Work on the verbal mirror. Start in low-stakes conversations. Notice every time you nod and replace it with a word. Notice every time you point and replace it with a direction. Week 4. Introduce the touch protocol by having one direct conversation with a visually impaired person in your life or team about their preferences. Ask what works for them. Their answer is the best framework you will ever get. This approach connects directly to what makes inclusive meetings genuinely work, not policies, but specific, practiced habits that become second nature. If conflict or tension arises during any of these interactions, the principles in how to handle conflict during meetings apply directly. With the added awareness, the your body language adjustments carry even more weight when visual signals are absent. Tools like the core framework and the empathy bridge technique also pair well with these physical frameworks, particularly when the conversation carries emotional weight and your non-verbal signals need to be especially deliberate. And if you're delivering feedback, the precision required by the SBI method translates directly into the kind of verbal clarity the verbal mirror demands. What do you carry out of this? The deeper truth is this: every skill in these frameworks makes you a better communicator with everyone, not only with visually impaired colleagues. When you announce your approach, you show respect for someone's space. When you state your position clearly, you reduce ambiguity for everyone. When you replace a vague gesture with a precise word, you become clearer than most people ever manage. When you signal a close deliberately, you leave people feeling finished rather than abandoned. These body language adjustments are not accommodations in the diminishing sense of that word. They are upgrades to how you show up in every room you walk into. Practice them long enough, and you will not remember a time when you communicated any other way. Frequently asked questions. What are body language adjustments for visually impaired communication? Body language adjustments for visually impaired communication are deliberate changes to how you position yourself, move, and use touch during a conversation. They replace visual cues the other person cannot access with physical presence, vocal signals, and spatial awareness that they can sense directly. Do body language adjustments still matter if someone cannot see me? Yes, a visually impaired person senses your proximity, hears shifts in your posture through your breathing and voice direction, and feels tension or ease through touch and physical orientation. Your body language adjustments shape the conversation even when they cannot be seen. How should I position my body when talking to someone who is visually impaired? Stand or sit directly in front of them at a consistent, comfortable distance. Announce your presence before touching anything in their space, and keep your physical position stable so they can orient to your voice. Sudden movement without verbal notice disrupts their spatial awareness significantly. Is it appropriate to use touch as a body language adjustment with someone who is visually impaired? Touch can be a powerful and respectful body language adjustment, but only when it follows clear protocol. Always ask before initiating contact, announce what you are about to do, and use consistent contact points such as the hand or forearm rather than unexpected areas of the body. What mistakes do people make with body language around someone who is visually impaired? The most common mistakes are pointing or nodding instead of speaking, walking away without announcement, making eye contact a substitute for engagement, and mirroring cited social norms that do not translate. These habits leave the other person confused about what is happening in the interaction. How do I signal the start and end of my turn in a conversation without visual cues? Use brief verbal markers such as a short pause followed by the person's name, a consistent vocal tone shift, or a light touch on the hand to signal you've finished speaking. These replace the visual turn-taking signals such as gaze direction and head nods that cited conversations rely on. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.